for the broken hearted, healing for the broken in heart. That is a major deal in the church. Amen. We have to understand this word very well, because we are coming to the end of this year. Amen. And we have had healing services for all of this year. And the main reason was to bring this church to a place where any saint can get themselves healed. Amen. And this particular word has been in my heart for more than a month. Amen. In fact, I was going to preach it like last month, but I just kept postponing it. Amen. And God wants this word to be released this morning. This will reveal the root cause of sicknesses. Amen. Once we know where sicknesses come from and the root cause of it, we will always triumph over sickness. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 18 verse 14. Now today, I believe you all read with us 1 Samuel chapter 1, right? And 1 Samuel chapter 2. We saw our dear sister Hannah. Now Hannah was the first wife, because the Bible says that Elkanah gave her a worthy portion. That worthy portion means a double portion. Now a double portion means, you know, the first wife always gets a double, right? And the second wife gets, you know, the rest. Hallelujah. But the second wife made up for the loss by getting a lot of children. Amen. But Hannah's life was a rough life. It was a tough life. In those days, if you didn't have children, it was seen as a curse. And every woman in Israel was hoping to be the person through whom the Messiah or the king will come. That is why when she was praising God, she said that God will bring the king, and thought about my horn being raised up. Hallelujah. But look at this verse. The Bible says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Today, this is a teaching, amen. I want you to understand this very well. That if your spirit man is weak, then when a sickness comes to you, it will crush you. You can't bear up under the pressure of that infirmity, amen. There are some people, when a sickness comes, the doctor will tell them, you have 6 months to live. And some people, because their spirit man is so weak, within 2 months, they are dead and gone and buried. But there are some people, they hear that news, but they receive that news and begin to go into the spiritual realm. Amen. And because of a strong spirit, 3 years later, they are still there until somebody touches them with a healing hand. Amen. You see, in fact, it's very easy to see those who can get healed. Even if you look at healing programs and healing services, when somebody comes to a man of God, the man of God says, are you ready to receive your healing? You can see from the response those who are going to get healed. Amen. Somebody say, I know I'll get healed. Today is my day. I have been waiting for this day. I came with my shoes. Today I will walk. And such a person almost always gets healed. And somebody will come, they will ask them, do you think you'll get healed? I don't know. If it's God's will, maybe, you know, I don't know. Now you know that's going to be a rough one. Hallelujah. With such a person, typically the man of God will take some time with such a person to prepare their heart. Because if the heart is crushed, or if the spirit man is messed up, that person can be used of God. Now, we have studied in this house that the heart of man is the innermost part of the human being. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And the spirit man is your real person. Tell somebody sitting by you that your spirit man is your real person. Hallelujah. But man has focused on the mind, or the soul, and the body, or the flesh. We give more attention to what is not important. Jesus said that what is important to man is an abomination for him. Amen. Your spirit man is the most critical part of your being. And if that most critical part of your being is crushed, then sicknesses can just hang on such a person very, very easily. That is why the Bible says the spirit of a man will what? Sustain him. When he has an infirmity, it will hold him up. So that it won't what? Crush him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you don't have a strong spirit or a sound heart, it will mess you up. And just by way of teaching, let's go to Ezekiel 36 very quickly. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36. I'm going to look at verse 25. I want you to understand the connection between the heart and the spirit, okay? The heart is where the spirit man resides. Another version will use the word belly. When the Bible talks about your belly, it's talking about your spirit man. Amen. In some cases, not in all instances. John 7, verse 37 says, that on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood on his feet and cried and said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this is speak concerning the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now it says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols or demonic stuff will I cleanse you. But let's move on. Verse 26. A new heart. Everybody shout new heart. Is God going to do a heart transplant? Oh yes. But this is not a physical fleshly heart. This is a spiritual heart. This is your spirit man. Amen. The Bible says a new heart will I give you. And what else? And a new spirit will I put within you. The heart becomes the home. The heart becomes the house that the spirit man comes to dwell in. And one day we'll teach more on this, but the heart has different compartments. The Bible talks about the rooms of the belly. Amen. And the Bible says, I'll put a new spirit. This is not the Holy Ghost. This is your spirit. The old spirit was a dead spirit. It was a stony heart that God has to remove. A heart that the devil was using for bad stuff. A heart that was cut off from God. And God says that now that you have received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, I am giving you a new heart. Amen. And I'll put a new spirit within you and I will take away the heart of stone. Amen. The stony heart, the rebellious heart, the heart that was, you know, cut off from me, I will remove it and I'll put what? A new heart. Amen. And the Bible says, I will give you a heart of flesh. That means a heart that is soft, a heart that is open for the things of God. Can we shout amen? So you see, when we talk about the heart, we're talking about your spirit man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your heart is the residence of your spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it refers to your innermost being. The most holy place is also referred to as your innermost place. And if the inner part of your life is sound, guess what? Your whole body will also be sound. Let's pull up Proverbs 14, verse 30. I want you to write the verses down. I want you to meditate on them. You want to experience not just healing, but health. Everybody shall health. Health is better than healing. Are you aware? Health means you do not need healing. That means you are in a state of health. You are in a state of well-being. God wants that for you, and God wants that for me. Amen? Proverbs 14, verse 30. Can we all read this? A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness. Could you put a YLT for that? The Bible says that if your heart is sound, if your innermost being, if your inner heart, your spirit man is in good standing with God, it will give life. Can you see this? A healed heart. You all saw that, right? A healed heart. Amen. It's life to the flesh. Hallelujah. So if your heart is healed, if your heart is sound, if your spirit man is strong, the same sickness that will kill somebody, you can be able to bear it. You can stand up under that pressure. You will not cave under that weight of that sickness. And because of that, the joy of the Lord will give you strength. But if you are weighed down and taken over by that infirmity, it means your spirit man is either weak or broken or messed up. Hallelujah. Let's look at Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Your spirit man is key to your healing. Hallelujah. If your spirit man is healed, then it will bring about healing to the rest of your body. Amen. Look at this word. A merry heart doeth good. Did you read that? You just saw that. What? A merry heart doeth good. I don't know whether you get this, but if your heart is merry, it can release healing to the rest of your body. That is why it is critical that we watch what goes into our heart. We don't allow bad stuff to get into our heart. Because the same heart, Jesus says, out of your heart comes envy, bad thoughts, and all kinds of things. So we must guard our hearts with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Rivers of life. The same rivers that Jesus talks about in John 7, where he says, out of your belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, because your heart is so important to God, you have to keep it. You have to watch over it. You have to be careful what goes in. You have to be careful that the bad stuff doesn't get in there. Amen. Bible says, keep your heart. Shout to somebody, keep your heart with all diligence. Can you give me a little bit, you know, I can't hear, you know, hallelujah. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. I don't want to shout today, amen. For out of it are the issues of life. Issues of life. Rivers of life. The outgoings. The word issue means going out and coming in. That means that your body, you see how the heart operates in the physical, natural realm. Your heart, if they shoot a bullet through your arm, you can live through that. In fact, there are some people who have survived a bullet to their head. You see that girl who was shot in Pakistan? They shot that bullet through her brain. Today she's walking, she's fine. But if they put the bullet through your heart, my brother, my sister, you are in trouble. In fact, if they tell you that your heart is enlarged, you have in trouble. The big man Clinton, he ate so much hamburger, the heart was in trouble. They had to do a bypass for the heart. Can you imagine that? When your heart is in trouble, the whole body is in trouble. Because the heart is where the blood flows and oxidization takes place. So if your cardiovascular system is messed up, your whole body is in trouble. In the same way, if your innermost being is weighed down, it cannot handle pressure. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Now, I want us to see a certain verse in the Bible. Let's go to Psalm 109. Hallelujah. Psalm 109, verse 16. Hallelujah. Today, you are going to receive healing in the most holy place, in the inner house. God will bring healing there today. Hallelujah. Are you in this house? Amen. Now, Psalm 109 in its entirety is talking about the wicked man, the wicked person, the worker of iniquity, the wizard, the sorcerer, the diviner. Amen. Those people that the enemy uses to destroy people of God. Amen. And the Bible says that because God, and Psalm 109 is talking about the punishment that God is giving to such a person. And it says, because that he remembered not to show mercy. But what did this guy do? He persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he may even slay the broken in heart. That means that the candidates for spiritual assassination are those who are weighed down in their heart. The enemy scans the heart of people. He walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. When he checks this person, his heart is merry. He goes over here, the heart is sound. He goes over there, the heart is healed. The heart is releasing good waters. He said, that is not a good candidate. That is not a good candidate. But somebody whose spirit is weighed down, somebody whose spirit is crushed, the devil says, that is the person I want. That is the person you must take out. And the demons rush on that person. And before long, the person is messed up. Hallelujah. Do we serve a living God in this house? The Bible says that he might even slay the broken in heart. That is so critical that you and I must keep our heart and make sure that the things that can break it will not happen. Brother, sister, there are at least seven things that can destroy your heart and create an opening for the enemy to come in. I want us to examine that very quickly today. Are you ready to move? Today I'm moving at the speed of light. You must flow with me today. Amen. Number one, a perverse tongue. Proverbs 15 verse 4. Proverbs 15 verse 4. You don't want your tongue to be saying the wrong stuff, brother, sister. Tell somebody sitting by you, keep a wholesome tongue. Brother, you got to watch what comes out of your mouth. Bible says you are snared by the word of your mouth. By what you say, you are taken captive. The enemy is waiting for what you are going to say. And his legal authority is derived from what comes out of your own lips. Because the Bible says that by your words, you will be condemned. By your words, you will be justified. So you got to be careful what you say. Amen. Look at this verse. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A tree of life, you know, has leaves for healing, right? Also has a bread or fruit that brings strength and energy. So if your tongue is good, saying good stuff, guess what? You are going to have a wholesome heart. Amen. But perverseness in it will do what? It's a breach. Everybody shall breach. And the word breach means an opening. Okay, take it down just a wee little bit. Amen. It means what? An opening that the enemy can move through. Ecclesiastes says that if there is a break in your heart, the snake can come in and bite you. Have you ever read that before? The Bible says that God is seeking for people to stand in a gap so that destruction cannot come in. A gap is an invitation for the enemy to come into your life. When there's a gap in your life, that is a very move or the very way by which the enemy will come into your life. So whatever constitutes a breach in your spirit is a danger. You have to guard your heart with all diligence. And what will cause it? Perverse tongue. A tongue that doesn't say the right thing is just going to invite trouble. How do we have a wholesome tongue? By meditating on the word of God day and night. The Bible says, do not let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it or speak it or confess it day and night so that you be careful to do everything written in it. You make your ways prosperous. You will experience good success. So the word of God must be constant K in your mouth. Shout to somebody, constant K. I'm not a scientist, but I believe K means constant. Right? That is a synonym for constant. That means every time is in your mouth. It's coming out of your mouth every time. I hope you hear this. Are you really meditating on the word of God? If you are, then your heart is under a whole, it's now a wholesome tongue. Amen. Perverseness in it will cause a breach in your spirit. So watch out for a perverse tongue. Those whose tongues are perverse are always sick. Those who have harsh words are always coming under one sickness or the other. If you have nothing good to say, you will have nothing good happening in your life. So if you have nothing good to say, what should you do? Keep quiet. Amen. If I am grieved in my spirit and troubled in my spirit, I keep quiet. I don't want to say something because I might just say the wrong stuff. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in this house. Yesterday, I was coming from Charlotte. And there was this dude, you know, just coming after me. You know, these cars with those neon lights. I don't know what kind of lights they are. He flashed me. Poof! Poof! I'm like, look, you don't do that to me. I lifted my hand. I said, look, I'm from Africa. I'm from Ghana. If you don't know me, you'll see what I'll do. I'll slow down. I said, you are going nowhere. Either you pass over me or you pass around me. I said, Paul, you got to watch yourself. Take it easy a little bit. I get what I'm saying. Our tongue is unbridled. The tongue is a world of evil. It's so easy to lose control over the thing. I was watching myself saying all that stuff. Like I was watching a second person. I was like, wow, this guy needs help. Hallelujah. The car, when it was, it just kept, you know. I could see that the guy had realized that he had touched the wrong person. We have to watch our lips. Amen. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Perverseness in this will call what? A breach. An opening. Don't let the enemy catch you saying something bad. Hallelujah. Number two, a sorrow. Sorrow can destroy your heart. Proverbs 15 verse 18. Brother, sister, sorrow is your enemy. Some people feel that it's good to be sad. You know, at times, when I was a young person, I've always been in drama, you know, arts and stuff like that, and I write plays. So I like to observe people. Those who write plays, they like observing people. And I'll be sitting in a car or in, you know, those lorries where people sit and they face each other. You see somebody, a woman will be sitting there. And I look at the face. Hey. Nobody's talking to this person, but this woman is enshrouded in gloom. There is sadness all over this person. There is no smile, not a flicker of a smile. Just sad. I'm like, what's going on? Is the husband beating her? Are the children not doing well? Amen. So when somebody's face is messed up, we can tell that the person is not feeling well. Amen. In fact, if you go to the hospital, you don't see too many people smiling. I mean, somebody with a headache, will you see them smiling? Somebody whose blood pressure is moving heavenly, just messed up. They are not smiling. Their face is all squeezed up, scrunched up. You see what I'm talking about? But the Bible says, what verse did I say? Proverbs 15, I believe verse 13. 13. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Look at this. A merry heart will manifest on the face. If your heart is happy, your face will show it. Your face is the mirror of your life. Are you aware? Your face is like the thermometer of you. So if you have squeezed your face, I know there's trouble. I mean, hey. Amen. Your face is a dead giveaway. Hallelujah. When I was a kid, I always had a scowl on my face. It's like I was angry with the whole world. And my mother, my parents would say, smile. You're messing up your face. Put a smile on your face. Why are you looking so bad? I'm like, why are you worrying me? What's your problem? If I'm scrolling, I'm not messing you up. They said, no, change your face. At times, our elders, they were powerful. They had their own way of making your face look good. They'll take their hand and they'll swipe. Has your face ever been swiped? My Lord. They will swipe your face. Snap. You will smile. Hallelujah. They will change your face for you. If you won't change it yourself, they will change it for you. Amen. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. And a spirit that is broken becomes the candidate for sickness, disease, and destruction. I hope you see this. That is why Paul says, when you're going through afflictions, rejoice. And again, I say to you, rejoice. That's why James says that when you're going through diverse trials, still be joyful. Because that trial will bring perfection in your life. Amen. Joy is a characteristic of the child of God. A Christian must exhibit joy. Hallelujah. The Bible does say that the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is the second one? Joy. So if there's no joy in your life, we have to ask you, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Amen. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you see a Christian scrawling their face, just say, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you can't. Amen. It is the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you are weak, what has happened? Sorrow has come in there. Sorrow makes you weak. Hallelujah. Look at what Peninnah was doing to Hannah. It was a gradual process. She was wearing down Sister Hannah. Sister Hannah was having a good time with Brother Elkanah. She didn't have any problem. Yes, she didn't have kids, but it wasn't such a problem. Until Elkanah was told by the mother, hey, my son, what are you doing? You are growing. This woman, if she can't, if she can't produce, get somebody else. So Hannah is there and Elkanah can say, my mother is saying this, so I don't know. What do you think? Say, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and get somebody else. You know, my sister has done that. My other sister did that. It's fine. Elkanah goes and gets this young girl called Peninnah. Peninnah comes in there and notices that there's a competitor that he says, we'll see. Within a year, a child has come out. Within 3 months, her belly is big again. Trouble. Hannah doesn't really care, but the woman begins to provoke her. The Bible says that she became her adversary. The word adversary is Satan. That means she became her Satan. See, the devil doesn't need to come to you with horns and a big tail and all this stuff. He can come through people. He spoke through Peter. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Amen. So this Peninnah became the very person that Satan used to aggravate Hannah. Year in, year out, Hannah was grieved. Until when she stood before Eli, she said, there's a spirit upon my life called a spirit of sorrow. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And that word sorrow means hard or severe or rough or tough. That means my life has become hard. My life has become tough because of what this woman is doing to me. And you see how she was weeping all the time. Weeping and weeping and weeping. Year in, year out. The Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is destroyed. Broken hearts comes through what? A hard life. Here you are, a young lady. Brother Michael has proposed to you. Brother Michael has kept you on his short list for 2 years. You have bought your wedding dress. Amen. In fact, the knocking fee has been paid. Everything is looking good. You have invited all your colleagues. Amen. You are standing in front of the altar. I mean, you are coming to the church. Somebody runs to the car. Please wait a bit. Don't come in here. I think the women are supposed to come after the men, right? They say, wait a bit. He says, what is happening? Oh, no, don't worry. They won't tell you anything. They say, no. It's just, a delay in the program. You know, just a delay. Don't worry about it. Just go home. Say, why should I come home? This is my important day. What are you talking about? Just gets out of the car, goes inside the church, stands there. Ah, where is Michael? And everybody's looking at this girl. You know how people like drama? Everybody has their cell phone out. They are recording the reaction. It's already on YouTube. Lady left at the altar. And such a woman runs out, throws the flowers down, casts off her veil. Amen. 2 years later, she's in an asylum. Amen. Shriveled in her body. About to die. Because of what? Broken heart. There are many people who have experienced broken hearts. Many people have gone through bad situations coming up, growing up. Amen. And it has destroyed their heart. And such a person becomes a candidate for the spiritual assassin. Amen. But let's move on. Proverbs 16, verse 34. Another thing you need to watch out for is anger. Shout anger. Ah, you don't want to play and fool around with anger. Anger is dangerous. Anger will open you up. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Are we there? Hallelujah. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Bible says, he that is slow to anger is what? He's better than the mighty. He that ruleth his own spirit than he that taketh a city. If you can rule over your spirit, and you can rule over your spirit, what we call a long-suffering nature. Amen. That means you have patience. When somebody aggravates you, you take it easy. Hallelujah. You smile. And say, this person doesn't know what she or he is doing. They were provoking Jesus on the cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Now, Jesus could have called down fire and brimstone. He could have called down thunderbolts and lightnings. But he said, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. They were stoning Brother Stephen. What did he say? Father, do not lay this sin at their charge. Hallelujah. But what did Brother Elisha do? Brother Elisha said, bears, come out. And the bears came and killed all the children. You remember that incident? What did Elijah do? Elijah said, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. 50 men are dead. Another 50 come, they are dead. So fast forward, there were two disciples of Jesus called Sons of Thunder. A city has rejected Jesus. They are saying, Jesus, I remember Elisha. I remember Elijah. I know what they did. Look at what Moses did. He spoke and the earth opened up and swallowed those wicked men. Let's call down fire on these people. Jesus said, you don't know what kind of spirit you have. We are in a new order. We are in a new dispensation. In a new dispensation, the rules of engagement have changed. And in the rules of engagement says that love those and pray for those who persecute you. Those who mess you up, what should you do? Just pray for them and love on them. It says if your enemy is hungry, feed the person. If your enemy is thirsty, what do you do? Give him water to drink. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That keeps your heart sound. That keeps your heart healed. Amen. Anger is dangerous. Look at 25 verse 28. Proverbs 25 verse 28. Today is a teaching. Amen. We want to understand the root cause of sicknesses. A sound heart is life to the whole body. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without. And we read about the fact that if you don't keep your anger, it's like somebody who is not ruling his spirit, right? So that means that if you don't have control over your anger, if you don't have control over your emotions, amen, if you are emotional and you just burst out in wrath, you get angry and you say stuff. As you are saying it, what is happening to your spirit, man? Your walls are breaking down. and it caused a wounded spirit. Now the enemy can come in through that opening. Amen. So anger, brother, sister, we have to watch it very carefully. We can't allow it to consume us. We can't allow it to take over us. Amen. The Bible says that such a person is like a city that has a broken wall. In fact, it doesn't have walls anymore. Did you see this? That spirit man, the Bible says, keep your heart. The word keep means put a fence around it. But now, instead of keeping a fence, what has happened? There's no wall. So the enemy is looking for somebody to devour. Brother A has a strong heart. Sister B has a very sound heart. Brother K, hallelujah. The Bible says, if you are angry, what happens? Your walls are broken down. He is so angry with everybody. What has happened to him? His walls are crushed. But he can pray in tongues more than all of you. Hallelujah. He can quote verse after verse. We got to be careful. He comes to church every day. But still, he has this problem. If he has it, what happens to him? His walls are. He becomes a candidate for a sickness. He becomes a candidate for disease. But the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Hallelujah. So, a perverse tongue, sorrow, anger, shout heaviness and anxiety. Proverbs 12 verse 25. Hallelujah. I'm staying only in one book because if I begin to go all over the place, we won't live here today. We have to pray for people. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to be stoned today. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12 verse 25. Ah, Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Hallelujah. But a crushed spirit, a broken spirit, who can bear? Who can handle that? Heaviness in the heart of man. Heaviness in your spirit, man, will do what? It will make it. Hallelujah. That means that in a spiritual realm, when the enemy is looking for a candidate for destruction, they look at how your spirit man is being held up. If your spirit man is like this, what has happened to it? Heaviness. Hallelujah. Everybody shout heaviness. Heaviness in the heart. Glory be to God. Can I give you the definition for that word heaviness? The word is a Hebrew word, da'ag. Da'ag. Everybody shout da'ag. Hey, here you learn Hebrew. You will learn Greek. You will learn it. Whether you like it or not. That word means anxiety. It means care. It means fear. Sorrow. It means to take thought, to be afraid, to be anxious, to be concerned. In Luke, we are told, don't let your heart be weighed down with the cares of this life. Amen. If you watch CNN right now, you will get really scared, right? They talk about this problem and that problem. You saw how they were preaching and announcing Sunday. Oh my God. If we had the same resources given to the proclamation of the Lord Jesus, the whole world would have been saved. They were preaching about Sunday. Sunday is coming. Then they changed the name. They say it's a super clone or super cyclone or whatever it is. Hallelujah. Sunday. By now, everybody knows who Sunday is. If anybody is called Sunday right now, they are in trouble. Ha. What happened? They were talking about it. And the more they were talking about it, the bigger it got. Bigger it got. Look at what happened. Somebody called me. Am I getting ready for Sunday? I'm like, what? What are you doing about the storm? I'm like, what am I supposed to do about the storm? I said, what kind of irrational fear is this? We are North Carolina. Are we not? He says, yeah. I said, there'll be no storm here. He says, that is very foolish. I said, well, irrational fear is also foolish. To be just fearful for nothing. What are you going to do? Huh? If a storm is coming, you're going to buy all the water. How much cups of water do you drink a day? Tomorrow the storm will go and the water will still be on the shelf. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fear itself. Why? Because America has become fearful. Because of dear brother Osama bin Laden. May he rest in peace. Thank God they took him out. Me, I'm one of those who I don't care. I think it's good they took him out. Too much money was being wasted. Amen. You see, fear has come into this country. When you're climbing a plane, you take off your shoes. Is that true? You take off your shoes. Now, we have to be careful what kind of shoes we buy. We can't buy me. I like lace shoes. You know, but now you take it off and then lace it back on, and you will see gate 103 is about to close, and here you are with your lace all over the place. Then you take off your belt. A grown man is taking off his belt, taking off a jacket. You have to be careful what you put. You know, the jacket is a good cover. Amen. If you don't have a good shirt, you put on a jacket. Nobody knows, but here you have to take it off. Take off your belt. Fear. If somebody walks into the plane with that kind of attire, they say, hey, are they going to check him out? Such a person is scrutinized. As soon as they go through the thing, whether they have nothing on them, even if they have pulled out all the gold in their tooth, that thing will go, quick, 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 quick. Oh, sir, you have to. Amen. So me, I don't wear my African stuff when I'm going through that stuff. Because they may say I'm a Muslim. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? Fear. Fear has taken over this country. No wonder prescription drugs have shot through the roof. People who are not even sick are going for drugs. Because of fear, anxiety, worry. Hallelujah. I don't like medicine. I don't care saying it. Amen. When I take my vitamins, the vitamins is like struggling to go down. At times I have to gag before it goes down. See, I say, forget the vitamins. God is my strength. Hallelujah. Medicine is rough. Amen. But somebody will take prescription drug and they'll take that medicine and they'll take pain medication. And then they'll be told, you know, you have to go for, in fact, there are certain doctors, all they do is tell you how to manage your medicines. They'll say, oh, this medicine reacts with that medicine. So the more you take medicine, the more your body is being destroyed. Amen. There are some people who minds went a little bit crazy, amen, and they took some drug and now they can't get off it. I get what I'm saying. Chaos, anxiety, heaviness will cause your inner man to stoop. That means you become susceptible to sicknesses. Amen. May God strengthen our heart today. May God feed our heart with anointing so that we can stand up under that pressure. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Delay can also cause a broken heart. Amen. Delay. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Amen. Are you learning something today? He says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You are expecting something, and the thing you are expecting is not manifesting. You are praying and fasting, crying out. You are doing everything you can, and still it is not happening. You have gone to school. You have studied the best courses, and the job is not coming. Amen. You are 36. Your biological clock is ticking, and no man has come. And you have prayed. You have given. Prophet after prophet have spoken, and yet nothing is happening. What happens to such a person? They become sad. Amen. Stagnation is not of God. The enemy is the one that causes delay. The very day that Daniel prayed, the Bible says, the angel came and said, the day you prayed, the first day, the answer came. But on the way, there was a guy called the Prince of Persia, who came with the kings of Persia, and they withstood me for 21 days until an angel called Michael was released, who is actually just holding them in place and keeping them, because I have to go back and finish that fight. And there will be four kings that will rise up. So for four kings, Israel could not see their temple come up correctly. They had to fight through four successive Persian kings. And all that time, Michael was fighting. There was a delay. They were building a temple, and the Persian king would say, don't build it anymore because of a false accusation. Are you hearing this word? Say in Jesus' name, Father, release the Michael angels to escort my Gabriel angels to release my blessing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, release angelic reinforcement to assist my angels of blessing, to release my breakthrough, to release my blessing in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, there shall be no delay in my life. In the name of Jesus, every delay coming from the heavens, I say, melt by fire. Every delay coming from the sea, I say, melt by fire. Every delay coming from the earth, I say, melt by fire. In the mighty name of Jesus. Delay is no good. Delay is no good. Jesus said, guys, From today henceforth, if you have a need, ask the Father in my name, so that your joy will be full. That means if answers are not coming, your joy will be there, but it's not there. It's like 75%. But God wants you to have a joy like a river. Have you heard that song for joy like a river? Joy like a river. Joy like a river in my soul. There is joy like a river. Joy like a river. Joy like a river in my soul. We need that joy to flow in our soul. Amen. But a delay can quench. Amen. A delay, stagnation, means not being able to progress. Going through unnecessary demonic bottlenecks. And demonic red tapism has just sabotaged your life. Whenever you want to move forward something, there's an invisible wind blowing in your face. All night the disciples were on the sea trying to move forward, but a wind was blowing in their face. But today I decree that every contrary wind that is pushing you backward, I command the fire of God to come against that source in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever foul hand is holding back your blessing, whatever is holding back your breakthrough, I command the hand of God and the living soul to sever that demonic hand. In the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever has sabotaged your life, whatever has undermined your progress, may the fire of God melt. May the fire of God melt. May the consuming fire melt that hindrance in the mighty name of Jesus. Say in Jesus' name, every hindrance of the enemy melt out of my life in the name of Jesus. Any demonic hand that has caught my foot, that is tripping me up in life, I say be withered, wither and dry up in the name of Jesus. Makamba rando rembe yaka moko rombo rembe. The Bible says that the hope deferred, your expectation, when they postpone it, it makes your heart sick. So the enemy wants to delay you so that your heart will become sick. And once your heart becomes sick, it can't release rivers of life. The issues of life are dammed. You know what a dam does? It blocks the water from flowing. Now your life is drying up. You are withering. And the sickness can just take you out. But thanks be to God that in Revelation 10, an angel came from heaven. And the Bible said this angel came to the earth and was a mighty angel. Mighty angels, just a short teaching. Mighty angels are not your normal angels. Some of these angels are so tall. They are so big. Some of them, when you see them, they can't fill this room. They are bigger than this room. Some of them, they are so tall, their head is in the clouds. They are called mighty angels. And such an angel was released because there was a demonic delay to the plans of God. When you go home, read Revelation chapter 10. And when this angel came, he located the three sources of delay. He put his leg on the sea and one leg on the ground or the land. And then he took his hand and directed it toward heaven. And he made the decree that there shall be no more delay, but that you will stand on your feet. My sister, you will stand on your feet today. You will take your foot and step on the sea. As you step on the sea, marine powers are being shut up. As you stand on the sea, you are destroying the Leviathan and the crocodile. In the name of Jesus. And you put your other foot on the land. And any beast from the land that is blocking your progress, you are going to rebuke it tonight in Jesus' name. Direct your hand to the heavens. And that delay from heaven, you are going to rebuke it in Jesus' name. Say in Jesus' name, in my life and in my household, there shall be no delay from the heavenly realms in the name of Jesus. Any power, drawing power from the heavenlies against me, I say dry up in the name of Jesus. I command every marine spirit, every Leviathan spirit, every crocodile, any beast from the sea that is hindering my progress to receive the lightness of God. In the name of Jesus, any beast from the land, any demonic presence from this land sabotaging my blessing, my breakthroughs, I say receive the hailstones of God in the name of Jesus. Delay is being dealt with tonight. Delay is being dealt with. Please sit down. Amen. We are not done yet. Today we are going to deal with the root cause. Amen. Delay is not a friend. Shout to somebody, delay is not a friend. Hallelujah. But the Bible says when desire comes, when the answers to your prayer comes, it is a tree of life. As you pray that prayer, you have become a tree of life. May your blessing manifest. Amen. Let's move on. Number six, envy. Everybody shout envy. Envy is the same like jealousy in the Bible, okay? It's a zeal. The same word is zeal. Amen. So there's good envy and there's bad envy. It's because of good envy that God takes care of us. For God is jealous for his own. Amen. But the perverse jealousy becomes envy, and that can destroy you. Amen. But let's look at how that happens in Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30, very quickly. Amen. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Can we all read this together? A sound heart, life of the flesh. But, you see, when the word but comes, it means this thing counteracts that. But envy, the rottenness of the bones. Oh my God. That means that when you become covetous in life and longing for what is not yours, it dries up your bones. Well, wait a minute. The bones is where the marrow comes from. And the marrow is very critical to your immune system. Am I correct? Hallelujah. And if your immune system are not good, I think white blood cells or something, if those things are not working properly, diseases come to you. No, diseases come to everybody. Are you aware? But a strong immune system is your defense mechanism that wards off the sicknesses. But because you are longing for something that is not yours, the Bible says, do not envy the wicked. Do not lust after his stuff. Amen. So when you are grieved in your heart because of somebody else, what happens? It dries you up. And your spirit man doesn't have that strength, that energy to fight off the disease. The Bible says that the Lord will never forsake you nor leave you. Amen. The Bible says that you must be content in life. Paul said, I have learned how to abase and I've learned how to be full. Paul is as comfortable in a Rolls Royce as he is comfortable walking on his foot. He can walk on his foot with joy in his heart and drive the Rolls Royce as if he's had it for 100 years without a care in the world. I hope you understand this. And if you don't have that kind of life, you will be cut down. The smallest problem, you become so grieved in spirit. Look at me, all my friends are moving ahead and me alone, I'm here. What has happened? Envy is coming in. You're looking at your friends. Do you know what God has decreed for you? Maybe God wants you to be far better than your own friends. But you've limited yourself by focusing on your friends. And by so doing, what God has decreed for you, you are sabotaging it. May envy be removed out of our heart. I rebuke that spirit of jealousy. I command it to be driven out of our heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You thank God for the successes of other people. When a brother is doing well, what do? Praise God. Congratulations. God bless you. Go. You push them. Hallelujah. I have many, many pastors. They call me. Why? Because I like to encourage. No matter what I say, you are doing well. You have this gift. You have this anointing. Go. Blessed be the name. Let's push each other. You have to, when you encourage others, people come to you. People love you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That men of God, even when we're just 2 years in this ministry, men of God were just coming into this ministry. And they will not even accept anything from us. Because of what? The way we encourage people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tell somebody, be an encourager. Be a pusher. Push people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says, if you water somebody, you will be watered. God will take care of you. He will push you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't need envy here. Hallelujah. Let's look at the last one, the most dangerous one. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Say, pride is dangerous. Oh, look at the devil. Satan was walking on the mountain of God, walking in the stones of fire. He had all the precious stones, But the Bible says something happened to him. Pride came into his heart. Before destruction, the heart of man is, the word haughty means to be lifted up. It's like opening a gate. Amen. And before honor is humility. Is that not so? But the Bible says before destruction came, what was there? Pride. You know that pride goeth before a fall. You know that, right? So that means that a pride is a common problem. Pride is not like stealing. You know, there are very few people who actually steal. Pride is not like adultery. There are some people who are keeping themselves pure. But there are many people who are captured by pride. Pride comes to every single person in life. That means you have to monitor it very carefully. It is not just a demon. It is a major principality. Because it has more souls under its hold. And when pride comes, it comes because of what God is doing in your life. That is why the enemy attacks people when they are at the height of their glory. When David had his most successful victories in life, Satan came against him. When God lifted up the devil and made him his own covering, the cherub that covered, pride entered his heart. Amen. Pride is dangerous. Say, pride will not be in my heart. Pride of life, leave my heart right now. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says it will cause you to be destroyed. Pride means moving beyond and over above what your potentials are. Or going for what is not really yours. The Bible says, he that boasted of a false gift is like a cloud without rain. Can you imagine that? You are boasting of something you don't have. You are like a cloud that can't release rain. Hallelujah. That is why Paul says that with what you have, be comfortable. They were telling John the Baptist, hey, your brother, the guy who you baptized, is baptizing more people than you. What is the enemy doing here? He wants the forerunner to fight against the person he's heralding. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Say, I must decrease so that Jesus might increase. That is how glory comes into your life. That is how the power of God can manifest in your life. But we can't end this discussion without talking about the solution. There are many solutions. Of course, joy is one, right? Joy, wholesome tongue, cheerful countenance. Amen. The word of God. Let's look at Proverbs 12, verse 25. Man, I wish we had time. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12, verse 25. The Bible says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. What will bless it? A good word. Shout a good word. A good word will make it glad. Oh my God. I pray that this is a good word. Amen. A good word lifts you up. A good word encourages you. Be an encourager in life. When you give a good word, it sustains people. If they are health, if they are sick, that word can lift them out of their sickness. Amen. We need that grace upon our life. Always have a good word for other people. If somebody is down and out, can they come to you? I had a kind of person, somebody comes with a problem. Ah, you are such a weak brother. You are telling me this is your problem. Come on, man. Just pray. Pray for 2 hours. You'll be fine. What kind of problem is this? You must even be ashamed. Such a person, nobody goes and tells them their problems. They stay away from such a person. When somebody comes to you with their problem, the Bible says, cry with those who are crying. Can you empathize with the person? Can you feel what they are feeling? You must sustain others with your words. Amen. May the Father make you have good words in your mouth. People will flock to you. Hallelujah. May God release answers to you. Amen. Answers will make you happy. But the most important verse I want to hop on today is Proverbs 27 verse 9. These are the two things we are going to release this morning. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27 verse 9. Hallelujah. Are we there? Hallelujah. You see this word? I want you to read this word. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. What are the two things that rejoice the broken down heart? Ointment. What is ointment? Oil. The anointing oil, or the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what else? Perfume. Perfume, you know, is what? Prayer. You can't be in this church without knowing that incense is not prayer. Otherwise, where have you been all this while? Hallelujah. Perfume refers to what? Prayer. The Bible says that the angels brought the incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and offered it before God, and then cast fire into it, released it on the ground. It became thunder, lightness, fire, earthquake, hailstones were released. Your prayers are powerful when it's processed in heaven. May your prayers reach heaven. May your prayers be hot enough to touch heaven. That's another discussion. Amen. Ointment is the holy anointing oil. The Bible says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Hallelujah. The anointing will break every yoke of oppression that is causing your heart to stoop, that is causing your heart to be broken. That kind of anointing oil is here in this house. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and to heal the broken in heart. When your heart is broken, what do you need? Healing. So God has healing today for those who are sick in their heart. That healing is in Isaiah 61 verse 3. There are three things that God will release today in this house that will cause that broken heart to be healed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah 61 verse 3. There are three things that God wants to give to you. Whenever your heart goes down, begin to pray for those three things and you'll be fine. Amen. The Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, those with a broken heart, to give them what? Beauty for ashes. Say, Father, give me beauty for ashes. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Ashes in the Middle East, when they are mourning, they throw dust on their head. They begin to take dust and throw it on themselves. That's what Hannah said. The man who was sitting in ashes, the woman who was sitting in the dust, you have lifted her up to sit with the princes of the world. And now that she has risen up to that place, she's bringing forth a lot more children. Did you read that after Eli gave her the word, her countenance changed? Her countenance changed. She was no longer sad. When she went home, the man slept with her. Boom! She had a child. Why? Because her countenance changed. But what made her countenance change? Number one, she began to pray. All those years, the words of Peninnah just made her sad. She could not bring forth. But one day, the Bible says she rose up. The husband came and said, my dear wife, what's your problem? Am I not more important to you than 10 boys? Hannah said, this man is tormenting me today. Today you've added your voice to Peninnah. And the Bible says, Hannah rose up. She didn't eat that day. She went to the temple and began to do what? Pray. She released what? Perfume. The first condition has been met. She was praying and praying and praying until finally even her voice was lost. Have you prayed until your voice got lost? Then that means you have prayed. Some people don't pray because they don't want their voice to be lost. Hallelujah. When you pray and your voice breaks, that means that you have really heard it. Hallelujah.